Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're glad that the all things that are possible has to do exactly with what was given us by Peter when he said that after the great presence and the great revival, healing revival, there would come a restoration, that word, and we know that all that is possible now. And there would be then, according to vindication, in this hour the descent, wherein there was a shout and the voice and the trumpet, and there will be definitely a catching up of a living bride, and those who are down in the earth will come forward to glorified bodies and will meet the Lord in the air. And I believe at that time, Lord, that all those risen ones that came forth out of the graves with you 2,000 years ago will be looking over the battlements of heaven up there with Jesus, even as the angels looked when Jesus arose with that first group and they said, "Lift up your heads, ye gates, everlasting doors, and be lifted up." And we believe, Lord, that's the Omega of the Alpha of this hour. And we appreciate it that there is this great convocation, Lord. And we believe the convocation is greater than those who form the congregation, because you are there, Lord, the great one, in the full display of your power and majesty of that particular marvelous promise, which we only barely know of, that we cannot even consider it as to the true revelation, except we believe we'll be a part in what unfolds at that time. We will be very grateful for it. We appreciate that. And we see, Lord, numbers going by the board. We see that all over the place, even as it was at the time of Noah. And I know there that people were saying, "Well, it's going to run out. You watch, there'll be nothing to it." But there was something to it. And the same thing, Lord, with every great juncture of history and every prophet was always the same thing. Watch it run its course, it'll never survive. But Lord, we know there's an imperishable word that's been given to the bride, and by it she shall live and survive and become immortal. So we thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter concerning numbers, it doesn't matter concerning what people consider glamour, what they can see, consider this evidence or that evidence or that status or other status, Lord, we know it has to do with the word, and we know your word absolutely has told us that not one should be plucked out of your hand, and also the foundation of God stands forever in the seal of the Lord, knoweth them that you're his. We rest in that this morning, Lord, and should bring our case before you as simple believers in heart, mind, soul, and follow you, Lord. We try to, we pray you will help us to recognize the strength you give us to follow more closely and more determinedly. Bless our studies this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're into number 6 of the restoration of bride tree. And we noticed last Wednesday that Brother Branham was dealing with the restoration of the church by first telling us how that church lost out in the first church age. He said that the first step down was the relinquishing of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. However, at that time, he barely mentioned the gift of speaking in other tongues, except to say that though the formal church came against it, calling it nonsense, there were some who understood the languages and were saved. It was very noticeable that Brother Branham did not speak of any of the other 8 gifts and bypassed them in favor of emphasizing the laying on of hands and prayer for healing of the sick according to Mark, wherein healing is one of the signs following the word of God wherever the gospel is preached. Yet later he said, the laying on of hands, either for the baptism or healing, was a Jewish custom and not actually needed today, though he did not rescind it. He noted that at the early period of the first period, the church grew rapidly with a tremendous spirit of unity and oneness. But the greedy worm of humanism, wanting to impress people and make the church a more cultured center of worship, began pandering to the rich and intellectual, who welcomed to a degree the healings, but turned against the rebirth and the power of God until the leaders and eventually the people reacted to this. Signs that followed some of the believers, even as the Jews turned on Christ in spite of his vindicated ministry. We finish reading on page 33 where Brother Branham is telling us how Christ challenged the Pharisees on two points. Number one, proved by Scripture that he was not whom he said he was. And number two, to do the works that he did to prove that they were at least somehow correct. Or at least if then they were true believers, they would believe the word and then, of course, decide that they wanted a part of that ministry. See, Judas wanted it and then he fell from it. As we read as rapid as we can today, and then start again on page 33 where we left off at. But as we read rapidly from that place, that paragraph onward, we will see Brother Branham is actually using much of the same material he used in the church ages and remarks that prefaced the various seals as they were opened. What we are seeing is the devalued word of revealed truth that was set forth by Paul, the vindicated prophet of God. If we note how Paul revealed and reveled in the glorious redemption of God in and through Jesus Christ, and what it means to us passively and actually, we see it all begin to melt away until the church is naked and devoid of life, as is this tree of which he is speaking. Now it's up to the Elijah of this hour, coming to us, Christ, coming through William Branham to discern the error and then establish the truth. So once more we see the tree planted by the water, God's tree bearing God's fruit, fully clothed or leafed out, in the very presence of God, getting ready for the rapture, as we saw that in Revelation 22, 10, and so on. So, all right, on page 33, we begin where Christ challenges the Jews as to who he is and his ministry and asks them to step into the arena and prove their right to interpret the word that man should live by. And as we go into this, we can actually wonder if we are not into an Omega period where we have all of these things laid out before us and they're being reneged on by the very people who say that they are a part of this ministry, that they believe actually the vindicated word. Come to the places where Brother Branham said, you say that you believe me, then why don't you obey me? And this is where we could be this morning, and it certainly gives us a great room to think, and also it could actually pinch us as to our conscience. Now, on page 33 then, Brother Branham is using Christ as the challenger, and remember that he is also challenging in this hour. As he said on one occasion, go up and stand right beside me. He said, if you believe in three gods, bring your Bible, bring your scriptures. He said there's only one God, period. And remember, he was not a Trinitarian, or was he Jesus only? It's in between. So you've got to get your thinking away from both sides, and you've got to reconcile it right to the middle. What is he talking about? Now, this is what people have not been able to do. I don't know whether there's some of you sitting here this morning or not. That's entirely up to you. I've not talked to you, and I'm not a discerner, and I don't even intend to discern if I could or talk to you if I could to question you. But there are those who still, I know, still believe and think I'm teaching two gods. They don't have a clue to what is being said. And they don't have a clue to what a Trinitarian is, although they are Trinitarian. And they don't have a clue to what Jesus only is, though they are Jesus only. You say, what a mixture. That's exactly right. It's a complete ungodly mixture. A complete ungodly mixture by disavowing the terms God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, and then understanding there is one God, period. And I don't care if he has 5 billion sons. And the 5 billion sons by his power created 5 billion universes. One God. You baptize into his name, Lord Jesus Christ. But do you understand terminology? See, this is what we're looking at. You don't have to look at it. It's your business. I'm not here to club you into it, nor do I want you screaming and jumping up and down as though you understood it. I'm not interested. The Bible says, he that hath ears to hear, not open his mouth and scream. That can come later. But a person better know what he's saying amen to. Heard a young preacher the other day, you think he's a fabulous young preacher. He keeps on saying, can the people say amen? Why do you want to say amen to what they don't understand? Sin against their own souls. What you're saying amen to is the conversation you have concerning the word and what you believe in your heart. We could have a conglomerate then, couldn't we? Not a conglomerate, we'd have a conglomeration. All right. Said, all right, show me where I'm not fulfilling the word, to the hilt. See? Perfect, right to the line. Nothing left out. Right where it's supposed to be. Show me in the scripture where in my day. If I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. He said, now you claim to be that. You're the guys that put yourself over me. Let's see you do it. Brother Branham challenged them. They couldn't take the challenge. They were smart enough not to, like these birds here. But they went behind his back to destroy him. That's where you have the crucifying themselves as Son of God afresh. Why? Son of God. Because it is the Holy Spirit ministry in Brother Branham revealing the Son of Man. The same one that was there, Jehovah, indwelling the flesh of that Son. He left that flesh, went back to a pillar of fire. Came right down here to Paul, then came down to William Branham. You find Paul mentioning of God in him. William Branham carried it further to the extent of absolute illumination. He said, the pillar of fire standing up inside of me right now. Oh, they say horrors. Huh. Well, every man to his own dish of oats. Oh my, from henceforth they asked him nothing. Sure, they were challenged. They couldn't. They let him alone, but they went behind his back. Like the devil flew into him. I said that he thought he'd jump in anyway, but he found out they had that had a million volt wire in it. Million volts in that wire. In other words, Christ just blew him right off. He jumped off that one real quick, you see, because he couldn't handle that. That was one thing. Sure, what's he talking about? Come on, do what I'm doing. Stand up here. They said concerning gifts to Brother Branham, you put us on the spot. He said, you don't think I'm on the spot? Sauce for the goose or sauce for the gander. And that's very wonderful too, because it means God himself is on the spot. Sure. You read your Bible, you're going to find out God puts himself on the spot all the time. Then he puts us on the spot to see if we are of the adoption, which means the placing of children. All right, let's start reading. So this little palmer worm came around to take off the fruits. I have two pages of fruits. I just want to read some of them. First thing, the first fruit he took off was brotherly love. Now, that's what the prophet says. And of course, the tremendous church with that lovely unity. They had real brotherly love. They looked out for each other. That's right. That's one of the things that kills the church right there when brotherly love goes. Yes, sir. Then the next fruit he took off the tree. Remember, love is the first fruit of the tree. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith, patience. Now remember where Brother Branham places that love. It's a brotherly love. Like he said, you can only show your love to God by loving and serving your brother. You love and serve God by loving and serving your brother. And you got the same thing here. Then what is that love that is in the fruit of the Spirit? Well, most people automatically want to simply place that toward God, and which is wonderful. I've got no kick about it. But notice Brother Branham placed it within the brethren. So there's that brotherly love. Be interesting to know how some people qualify what they have as brotherly love. They want to destroy ministries, churches, everything else, and all the time prayed about their great love, which is nothing but an emotional. It's either erotic or filial. Now, the Pentecostal church is full of erotic love. If you don't believe it, you see the swaggerts and the bakers and all that kind of stuff, and there's thousands and thousands of them. It's not just one or two people. It's like the Catholic church. You think one or two priests? Well, I don't know about Bernadine. I wouldn't say that he was a homosexual. I wouldn't say he wasn't. Go back and trace the history amongst the popes. Read the books on the good popes and the bad popes. Find out about them. Don't be blind and deaf and dumb because somebody sold you a bill of goods. Read it. You'll see why it's ripened today. What did they do? They went plumb against the word of God, which denied the relationship of marriage to every man and woman that desired. So what did they do? Read Father Chinicky's book. Find what they tried to do in that day. Then you understand the seed of discrepancy took hold. Just, hey, read the first chapter of Romans again. Read it crying unto God. Read it on your knees. Until it gets a hold of you. Where did it all come from? Left the Word. When you leave the Word and make something to take its place, the first thing is there is no brotherly love. There's got to be contention. He puts them down here. Long-suffering, goodness, meekness, patience. That right, in the Holy Ghost. Now, nine spiritual gifts and nine fruits of the tree. All right. Now, the first, he got to eating on the fruit of the tree. Well, that's where the good sweeties are, see? Almost everything will attack the fruit first. See, why they want to destroy it? Why do you want to destroy the fruit? Because the seed is in the fruit. Now, I'm talking naturally, you understand now. That life. So they want to destroy or get right down to the seed. You notice the little worms that they try to do? They try to get down to the core and get in the seeds where the real goodies are. That may be kind of explained to you in a certain degree how it is when you take sprouted oats and sprouted wheat and sprouted barley, it's more nutritious than when it's not sprouted. Why? Because it shows there's life there. You've tapped into it. How does the farmer find out exactly how many wheat are going to mature if he plants a certain type of wheat? Or the agronomist? He simply puts it on blotting paper, pours water on it, puts it in the sun. He's got 100 little berries of wheat in there, and if 60 of them mature, he said, I got 60% maturity coming up. We've done that for years. Now they learn to sprout them, and they know the life is in them. Better form of protein, cinnamon, or the life is. So that the little bug attacked the brotherly love. Instead of standing together, they pulled apart. I don't say we do too well here, but to a degree we do what we do. To a degree. Just let us sit there. I'm including myself, not you. Maybe thinking myself more than you. Well, let's get the picture of the big tree of God's trees, bearing nine spiritual gifts. They're healing the sick, they're speaking in tongues, casting out devils, doing great work, preaching the unadulterated word. No denomination to tie them down. They're free, doing a great work. So then comes this little devil setting up with these two horns, setting out in front like a grasshopper, you know. And he's greedy in the little old greedy teeth. That's his first, the palmer worm. He came to eat our brotherly love. He said, you know, so-and-so did so-and-so over in such-and-such a church. I wouldn't believe that a bunch of people see. There he is, first thing. Now, what's Brother Branham saying? Why does he say what he's saying? Because he is the target, and his people are the target with him. Why didn't he just address the people there in the own churches? There's new people, so-and-so and so-and-so. Because that's not what you're looking at this particular time. He addressed his people not too long before he died concerning that brotherly love. But he's letting the people know, look, you are targets, I am a target. Why? He's just talked about Jesus being a target and those people with him being targets. Now they're targets. So don't let the people bug you. You see? Now, before you bring it home, look at the large picture. Next, he wanted to eat on the fruit of faith in the Word. Now look, how do you know that is the Word? It's been translated so many times, and we're always getting new, like you see. Getting better. That little devil's still eating, see?
That's right. The word's been translated so many times, he's this, that, or the other. Oh, he's all this, see. All right, what's Brother Branham talking about? He's talking about the fact in the first church age, the church literally split over a diphthong. And a diphthong are two vowels that go together in a word that can change the entire meaning or whatever. I'm not a Greek student. All I know is that's the way it was. Brother Branham mentioned they argued the Greek back there. They argued the Aramaic. They'll argue it now. And they've got so many translations and so many ancient manuscripts, and they're looking at the Dead Sea Scrolls and every single thing they can see positively. Well, listen, the very fact of, I suppose his name is really Schoenfeld. We'd pronounce it Schoenfeld, maybe. The one that wrote the Passover plot. A brilliant, brilliant Jewish scholar. Literally translated from the manuscripts he could get his hands on. I suppose it was the Sinaiticus, which is supposed to be the best one out of about five of them. Maybe went to the Aramaic. He translated, and he made a complete study of that age, and he said the New Testament is positively correct as to exactly what it says concerning that hour of how they conducted themselves, the geography, the history, and everything else. And his translation of the New Testament is one of the best I've ever seen. Monsignor Knox had a very good one too. When he got away from his Catholicism to the degree, he became a scholar instead of an adherent to the church. Because if you are an adherent to something and not truly liberated to go at the subject per se, you cannot deal with that subject. When I find a man who claims that Jesus' death and resurrection was a plot, and Jesus died later on someplace else, as they try to say, and yet he tells you flat, because he's an absolute scholar, that New Testament is 100% with the times, whether he believed the contents or not, and it was a plot. All right, we've had all these translations, even from what we call an infidel and an unbeliever, an antagonist of Christ in the Word. And they all say, look, there is the element of the genuine. You still have to go to somebody who has thus saith the Lord, or you cannot have a restoration of God's Word. I don't care what any scholar says, I'll debate him and argue, and then say, look, stupid, bring me your proof, come up here and tell me. And when you go to the Greek, I'm going to have my 32 versions all lined up. And I'm going to bring in some Greek scholars, actually Greeks themselves that I know. Now you tell me without vindication what I've got to believe. Because I'll not believe one of the 32, these guys here, or especially you, because you are a bamboozler. Now, give me some miracles. Let me take your picture, produce some evidence. Now, this is what Brother Branham is telling us. The contents of this message to me are not nearly as important as the implications of this hour. You say, why? Because Brother Branham says many things here that he elaborates on later, and they take on the true, distinct meaning. Here he is generalizing to a degree, but it's not true generalizing. It's Scripture. But at many places he gets so definitive. Not saying this is not definitive in the way it is going and what he is teaching. But he's teaching the complete defoliating of the church down to the very nub where there's only life left in the roots. And you notice that root appeared in the seventh church age. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. There was nothing left but that life. And that life came forward. And the word could only come by the vindicated prophet that it was indeed Jesus Christ, the Elijah of this hour. As Brother Branham cleared his own skirts when they talked about Elijah, he said, "Ah, no, I am not Elijah." Although one time he did admit it. He said, "The Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself." Now, Lord Jesus Christ is the baptism title. That's Elohim. That's Jehovah Elohim himself. God himself. And if you don't think it's God himself, go back to where he brings the seals and he said God could not trust an archangel. It doesn't say God even trusted his son. It said God trusted nobody but himself, came down the Garden of Eden when his son and daughter were in terrible sin. So today, then don't try to change it. Well, Brother Branham said Jesus does all three in descending. I don't deny it. What Jesus? The same one that said to Paul, "I'm Jesus." And Brother Branham said he went back to the pillar of fire. Who went back to the pillar of fire? The one that came down in the pillar of fire, stood over the sun and came into him. And what are you crowing about and griping about? Where's your two God issue, your Trinitarian and everything else? So much. So much for your translations, your Greek diphthongs, and everything else. Where's it going to get you? 100 more translations? The last translation is going to be written by Joe Blow, who is a committee of 14 men who can't make up their own minds what time it is to go to lunch. Yeah. Now that's the fruit he ate off of it. Joy of salvation. Faith. Joy of salvation. Shh. You people make too much noise. Oh, my, my. Look, Brother Branham was not making noise an issue. Get the tapes out. You will hear some of those that scream the loudest aren't anywhere near a message that Brother Branham preached. Noise isn't the issue. Or lack of noise isn't the issue. The issue is, what is real? And you refraining from what is real, and cannot open your mouth and praise God, and do those things which were done in the first church age, shows that there could be a real lack of sincerity. Drinking in the Word of God and the assimilation thereof. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If there isn't any real joy and vocalization of what's within you, you don't have much. And I don't have much. Because the only hope we have is vocalization of the truth, that it might grow and increase and enlarge. Because the Bible distinctly said there's a priesthood with a confession. And we say the same things that Jesus said. And Paul said himself that people were taught of Jesus, not of Paul. And he called them the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And wholesome is somatic. It means giving you strength. And I've never seen a strong, healthy person that wasn't able to shout, that wasn't able to express himself, I wasn't able to give voice to not opinion, but a reality. Now, here's what he's talking about here. Oh, my, my. Oh, how can you preach, Brother Branham? A woman said to me one time, no, it was a man, he said. I hope he's here. He belongs to another church, but he said to me, I was up to hear you the other day, and I couldn't even hear you from those people crying. And I said, and he said, how in the world can you preach there? And I said, if they didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be preaching. That's right. That's true. Next thing is, would you enjoy it as much if you understood it's being said? What if someone was saying something and right away you knew, pause, that's you. Oh, that's me, you're shouting. The guy said, no, it's a little guy in front down here.
Oh.
Be kind of embarrassing. I'm not, understand this, I'm not panning Brother Branham's sermon. What I'm trying to bring out here is the fact that vociferation under certain conditions or vocalization can be absolutely that of the hypocrite. I have never been against this church saying amen. And many a time I've said, look, now is the time if you really are the people that some people think you'd like to be yourself, you could be on your feet screaming to God right now and praising God. The Pentecostals had done that under my ministry of 500 people, and I preaching for Brother Branham. 500 people didn't even know I threw my sermon, rose instantaneously, began praising God. One of the elders in the church said to another one standing there, he said, that's the way it should be. He said, but it won't be unless you preach like that guy. If my sermons leave you absolutely unmoved here, and I preach to any being zombies, which some people misunderstand when I say you can die under my ministry, that is this. You can take the letter of the word, the pounding of that word, and you can go by that letter perfect, and you won't have a clue even to what's in my heart, what's in the heart of God. So why do I pound certain things? For the very reason they're real to me. I can't pound what isn't real. If I do, I'm whipping a dead horse. And I'm full of the same maggots the dead horse is full of. Huh? If I got a dead horse in me, I got a double load now, his maggots and mine. So we're not against the screaming, we're not against the crying, we're not against any of those things. Not as long as it's not a peculiar screaming that I know that you're doing has nothing to do with the word, but you're just a pest and a nuisance. Trying to get attention to yourself. I had that in Brother Branham's meetings. I told you about the funniest thing, this person making a noise, and I knew it was a woman just as sure as I was alive. It was a woman doing it. I'm not partial to women most of the time. They're usually the ones that are doing it, and I go sneaking around. And I come to the very area, and I'm listening, and I come to the very person. It's a man. I laid my hand on his shoulder and said, Brother, listen, I understand your joy in the Lord and all, but when you're doing this, you disturb Brother Branham, and people cannot hear, and the Word of God is more important than you praising the Lord or making any sound. He quit right away. At the end of the service, Brother Branham said, Brother Vail, I sure appreciate you stopping that woman making all that noise. I said, Brother Branham, it fooled you too, didn't it? What do you mean? It was a man. No, when you are into the Psalms and you understand the Psalms particularly and the people shouting and praising God, absolutely, I am for that. But you'll notice in the Bible, you'll find that the people shouted and praised God at the end of the services. It was after that Psalm lifted his hand toward heaven, the blessing of God came down, the pillar of fire that the Holy Spirit filled the temple and all, that the priest could not stand to minister. And it was almost not exactly mayhem, but there was a tremendous overwhelming spirit within the people that brought on this tremendous emotion. We are not against that. And I really hope that the people here enjoy the preaching of the word, like Brother Branham said. I used to have a friend of mine, Jim Pooley, used to have an old dog. We called him Fritz. This old dog, he'd go into anything that he treated but a skunk. He was afraid of a skunk because he smelled so. So I'd get him a skunk under a brush pile, and the only thing I had to do is pat him a little bit and say, skunk, 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 skunk. He'd go and get that skunk because I was patting him, saying, sick him. Well, the worst stinker I know is the devil. So when I'm bringing this word out and somebody says, amen, that's sick him to me, boy, we got him treated. Now, I understand that, see. There's no problem here with me and anybody as long as it's very, very sincere. And it's not something that we are trying to pump up emotionally. You see, let's face it. I realize that many people were carried along by Brother Branham's tremendous enthusiasm. And I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm just a deadhead, if I'm just a hypocrite up here, I'm a skunk, I'm a serpent seed, I've got to tell you honestly, I was not many times, most of the times, a part of it. Because I wanted to hear what he had to say. I wanted to know. Even on tapes today, some of his words are so hard to figure out. Mine are too. To some people. I talk very rapidly. Sometimes very much slur my words and run them together. Just to, you know, womp through them. But believe me, when it came to that word, I was attentive as I am today to know what is in that word. So my ministry could be a little problem to you. I hope not. I hope you have a joy in your heart that you express with your words, you express with your life, a confidence in God that is not all wasted in the whistle of the steam engine. Now you can, as this is an old Pentecostal illustration, and there were the noisy birds. I'm not against that. That's fine by me. Actually, you can make a lot of noise and relieve your tensions. Is that all you're going to get in church? Or would you sooner come here literally deadpanned and get a word of God that brings the ultimate peace of God into your soul? And it's no longer the psychology of letting off steam by screaming into a pillow or something like that. Anyway, the old story always was this. The steam that from the boiler that runs the motor is the same steam that blows the whistle. Would you sooner get your train moving or use all the steam on the whistle? In other words, where is your attention? Is it directed only toward emotion? Now, Brother Branham is not saying that. Brother Branham is talking of the true moving of the Holy Spirit that moves you beyond yourself, where Jesus himself said, if you never cried out, the stones would. So we're not against people. As I've said different times, this is a time you could be shouting. I wouldn't say one word. You get up and run around, I'd maybe start running with you. His brother Branham said they were one day he looking down a bunch of these people, and he thought, my, isn't that awful. He said them, you were tapping your toes, and some were even dancing. First thing he said, I found myself tapping my toes, and I was dancing in the aisle with them. Listen, hey, look, it is legitimate. Don't be stiff and starchy, as though this religion did not belong to a part of your natural, normal life where there's joy and the carefree spirit of God. Like, I'm not against people dancing. As long as women dance by themselves, I was just going to say together, God had pity, not anymore. And men by themselves, no more dancing together. Please? Divide the church. Men danced on this aisle 3 feet apart, and the women danced on this aisle three feet apart, and then you go around the corner. All right? Now, I'm not kidding. I'm not lying to you. I'm not being facetious. I'm telling you, look, I am not against it. From a child, I always believed in dancing, but never ballroom dancing. No. I wouldn't even dance with my wife if I were to dance. But impressionistic dancing in the spirit is in every single child, male and female. Nothing wrong with it. Keep your clothes on and don't get sensuous. But dance unto the Lord like David did. In fact, he shed some of his robes. He never was naked. The word naked many times in the Greek means they simply got their loincloth on. Yeah, you don't even talk about that. What can I say? He didn't have a dirty mind. His wife had the dirty mind. She said, my Lord, sure disgraced himself dancing out there. He said, I did it unto God. From now on, you're not my wife. Out. David was a prophet king. That guy was one tough bird. You never crossed him with the word, but you're gone. Now, if that was in that man, what do you think's in God's heart to cross him with his word? So, all right. This church, I'm not against it. I told you I'm not against gifts. When the room there started, I'll go in with you, though it's not my job. There's many things I don't understand. I don't preach it as though I understand. I just leave it. Hey, I'm sorry. I just got to leave it right there. So we find that he took away the joy. Now the joy he talks about is expressed vocally. I am not against it. As I sat in Brother Branham's meeting, I just get so welled up and choked in my throat, I could just literally scream a strangled scream. Just strangle it. It was so overpowering. It was real. I'm not against it. I'm not against anything real. I only would to God I had enough that I could be an example. So that's the truth. So we find out he took away the joy. You know, David one time lost the joy of his salvation. He didn't lose his salvation, but he lost the joy of it. He cried, Lord, restore unto me the joy of I don't think it's my salvation, it's thy salvation, what the scripture says. Brother Brown's got my in here. You're looking up and you're going to find a thy salvation. David never had any salvation. God had it. And he gave it to David. So this little old Pomeroon began to eat the fruit of joy out. Now looky here, you people make too much noise. I tell you, all this crying, saying amen, this shouting, that's nonsense, and nothing to it. Well, there's something to it. Number one, there's the vocalization of your victory in Christ. That you're more than conqueror through him. Your passive faith is letting everybody know that you're resting secure. Yet let me tell you this, anybody else can make noise and be a million miles off the word. But because that is true, don't let them take away the praise of God out of your heart. Don't let them take the shout out of your mouth. Don't let them take the dance out of your feet. And above all, don't let them take the joy of giving out of your hands. The perfect peace and relaxation and combat with brotherly love that forgives men from your heart. Let me tell you something. Paul the Apostle said, in the person of Christ, forgive I you. Where is that? Corinthians. I know it's in Corinthians, but whereabouts? That's the value of having a beautiful mind that's full of holes. If I were to rename my brain, I'd call it Swiss cheese. But I wouldn't know where to plug the holes. Oh, my. It's in Corinthians, but I don't know if I'm going to find it for you. All right, it's in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. So I would go to 1 Corinthians and mess things up, wouldn't I? Just to keep you waiting. All right, Paul is talking about the guy they turned over to Satan. He cleaned up and he came back. Verse 9, for to this end also did I write, that I might show the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. Turn over to Satan. To whom ye forgive anything, I also. For if I forgave anything to whom I did it, for your sakes did I do it in the person of Christ. And that word is presence. It is not person. The actual presence of Christ from what I read in other translations. So I'm looking at the omega of this hour is in the presence of Christ. You forgive everybody. But watch, this man had come back. The church cannot forgive anybody unless there's a comeback. You say, well, we're going to put it out of our minds and forgive them in that respect. That is true. Just leave them go. But what I'm talking about is where Brother Branham said, when the church says thus and thus and thus, why does it forget that the same Christ said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom, and whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted, and whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. See, they're right here, same thing. There is a way it is done. How do you stop the reaping of your sowing? The fourth generation can die of syphilis and AIDS because your great-great-grandfather committed adultery and your great-great-grandmother messed with other men. If you talk to certain men who seem to know the body, seem to know the judgment of God contained in this scripture, you will find that many people right today who suffer with blemishes on the skin and skin problems, it is said by those who are supposed to be authoritative, that it is more than likely your great-grandfather or great-grandmother had a venereal disease. You get the results of their sowing even to the fourth generation. So, all right, the joy is gone. I want to ask you a question this morning, though you may not be vociferous, that's fine by me, you could be. In all the right places, but not prolonged, so you're going to blot out what I'm preaching and teaching. Because the important thing is for you to have the engrafted word down in your heart, perchance I'm actually teaching it. I would just ask this one question. It's rhetorical. There's no need of an answer, because you alone can answer that question. I have to answer for me. You have to answer for you. Have you greater joy now in your salvation because of this word that you have than you ever had before? Now, you've got to combine that with other things, because you don't let just joy stand all alone. You don't let brotherly love stand all alone. You don't let faith stand all alone. You don't let your joy stand all alone. You don't let all these other things stand alone. They're all together in there. Because if you've got that one spirit, you've got to have those nine things in there, whether it's in the body, come, they're all overflowing, or one is predominant. I'm not going to argue the point. It's all in there. So when you talk about joy, do you have more peace? Are you more gentle? Have you more brotherly kindness? All of these things are there. So let's not try to bypass anything and then just talk about one thing. Now, Brother Brown is talking about everything, but he's taking them one at a time. He could just take blanket coverings. If you're truly full of the Holy Ghost, they are in there. Begin to inquire within your heart by the Word of God and set your mind on these things and see that your life becomes transfigured and transformed by it, because piling word upon word, you must come to it. Not what you want to come to, according to your thinking. Because down the road, there's a millennium, right? 1,000 years of further sanctification. Now get this morning, I'm going to add to it. What did Brother Branham say about Samuel when the witch of Endor called him up? Brother Branham categorically said he was in his prophet's robes and he was a prophet even at that time. In the millennium we will have, what, temple worship. Is that true? Then is it not possible every prophet will be there ministering? Every evangelist will be there ministry. Every sheep will be there with his proper accord. Proper ministry of priests and kings unto God. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. I want to tell you something. It's not just in this life, brother, sister. It's you and me coming back. Not reincarnation. Forget it. It's you and I as individuals, as we know ourselves and others know us. But it's going to be a lot different, because we'll be all different. First thing you know, you're sitting in a big morgue, you know, sitting there, so all of them dead. Well, I've seen sometimes the church is more like a slumber party. People dozing on. Well, it's all right. You want to doze on? I'm not going to be too bad on you, but I used to get up at 5 in the morning to arrest your Brother Branham's, get one, be one of the first ones in the door. And then that building so full of heat and perspiration coming down into my eyes and my eyes stinging and pinching, and pretty soon I nod and wake up. Well, I don't see anybody getting here at 5 in the morning standing at the door, so you're not the same excuse I got. Some people drove all night to get there, couldn't afford a motel room. See, they'll be sitting in the big morgues, all of them dead. Some of these embalming fluids of so-called doctrine of creeds pumped into their veins where the Spirit of God ought to be running, where the old church creed pumped in there. No wonder they're icy, cold and dead. The spiritual thermometer, 90 degrees below zero. Yeah, someone say amen. Everybody stretched their neck around like some kind of a goose or something, want to know what was said. Or who said that? It's a shame when the Spirit of God ought to be joy, peace, love. Little old bug started eating on and he ate all the joy. So all right then, joy really precedes your shout. And peace has got to be it even beyond that. What joy is in being constantly torn up? But what great joy in a vineyard. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. I don't see that yet, but yeah, I believe that. At least, bless God, you got peace with the Word. And the Word is God. Right? Sure. Yeah. How red hot were those vociferous ones that the minute Brother Branham put the church in order was saying, put the gifts in a little room. under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Make sure it's real. Then tell us about it. And they ran off where they could do anything they wanted.
I hear today the women are wearing slacks and bobbed hair. I don't know. I hope to God they're not. I don't know what they're doing. What about the prosperous church?
Back in the ages, in all ages, they hid in dens, walled themselves up where nobody could hear. They didn't dare scream any praises to God and walk out in the street and say, "Hey, I'm one of them, bless God, come and get me." Word of God said, when they persecute this city, run to the next. Martyrdom isn't you and me saying, "Here I am, come and get me." Polycarp hid until lives were in danger because of him. He came and said, "I'm the one you're looking for. Leave them alone." Jesus did the same thing. I just want everything put as far as I can see in due order where I don't, where Brother Branham, where he here, he would not want to be misunderstood. Certainly he loved the people shouting and praising God. But the same man also loved to sit with people who were onto the word the way he was and talk with him. Bring things to his attention. Where they found him to be not only right with the scripture in the sense that that they knew he was right with the scripture, but now they'd gone to the word themselves. Said, "Brother Brown, here I've got something I want to show you. Here's your ministry right here." Well, Dad, that meant a lot to Brother Brown. All right, so all the noise is great. Everything is great. I'm not against it. If you're shouting in the right place, that's 100% fine. No problem. But we also remember that the Word of God distinctly says, when persecutions come in and all these things are heaped up around about us, lift up your heads and rejoice. And it doesn't say run and say, "I'm one of them, come and kill me." The rejoicing is an inner rejoicing which can be vocalized. No problem. Let it be in the Holy Spirit, not the empty wagon shout. I guess I got cheesed off with a lot of these things in Brother Branham's ministry in the church because I knew many of them shouting the loudest and getting up every time, speaking in tongues and attempting to prophesy and interpret. I knew. Oh, brother. Preachers would say, "Well, Brother Branham, yeah, I always was a Trinitarian. He's never convinced me." Oh, I'm still a Trinitarian. See, it's hard to make myself understood in just what I'm trying to say without killing people off or getting wrong ideas. Look, this church, when you like something you have heard me say, I am not stopping you saying amen or anything else like that. Just be careful you don't have a barrage where the word is not being heard. But everybody's free to praise the Lord in the church, and sometimes I get very angry with myself, not with you, but myself, by not having more freedom when I myself just want to stand up and scream. And I say, I could, you know, and I tell you, I could be jumping from the chandeliers, but they're a little bit too high at this point. In the millennium, yes. But a little bit too high, and they might not even hold me if I got to one of them. But honestly, I mean, there are times when, and I imagine that Brother Branham got the people shouting. I never did see him shout himself too much except in his sermons, and they were, you know, unfathomable roles of gratitude and love and joy toward Almighty God and his fellowship with the brethren. So, all right, when enthusiasm is lacking, because the church is off the word, that is a horrible thing. You see? But when the church is on the word and the enthusiasm is lacking, then it's the end of the day. It is over. Now, the Bible distinctly says in the book of Proverbs, "The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." So there's a blessing with the Word of God and in our minds, our souls, every place, and it should be brought forth in a natural attitude of worship and our daily living. Now, that covers it. Then the next fruit is peace of mind, knowing you're saved. They tell you, "Well, now you'll recite our creed, you're saved. If you'll join the church, you're saved. Well, now one says you're not saved, you go there. You join this church and be saved. Have to say Hail Mary. Got to have your name in the book. This, that, and the other thing." Oh, my. That would take all the joy out of it. Sure, because you're in a place of speculation. Maybe you didn't sign the right book. You got to be like the guy that came to town drifting around looking for a church. He saw a church door. He said, I think I'll go in there. He got in there just as the old preacher was intoning, oh, Lord God, forgive us. We have not done the things we have ought to done. Forgive us, Lord. And we have done the things we ought not to have done. Forgive us, Lord. He said, this sounds just like a people just like me. I'm going to love them. And he so he stayed with him. He never could do the things he should do, and he never did the things, you know, refrained from things he shouldn't do. And that's the way people are. He loved the guy's prayer. It fit him right. Well, we're not that kind of a people here. God, take away those things that are displeasing to you. We know they are because they're displeasing to us. And I know they got to be displeasing to your saints around me. Get rid of that stuff. You know, it just takes one person to talk out of turn and say something wrong about a person, and people not maybe love the person talked about so much and believe it, and pretty soon the whole church is full of all this talk. And then maybe one day that person leaves the church and the talk's all gone. You ought to bite your tongues because you know you're taken by that person. So let's watch that. That kills brotherly love. I've had people say things about certain people, and I've talked to the certain person involved or certain persons, and find out that wasn't it at all. Just wasting your time, giving the devil all the time he wants, and taking my time, and up and running the person down. That's, hey, even telling the truth is bad enough about any of us without being involved in a bunch of surmise or lies. Come on. At least, my heavens, we ought to be that judicial. Oh, my, that would take all the joy. That's not God's tree. You know where you're at. That's a hybrid. You know my story about the mule. He's a hybrid. He didn't even know who his mom and papa were, either one. See, he's a hybrid. Oh, you take a good pedigreed horse, he knows who his mom and papa were through generations. And a real good pedigreed Christian, too, has got the Holy Ghost. He knows it found the day of Pentecost. He knows where he's at. He can trace his generation from back, his genealogy to the first beginning. Peter had it on down through the nation and races. They've laid it on down. A good pedigreed Christian knows where he comes from. In other words, he's telling you the truth. The seed has to come on down. The word has to come on down. And there might be only a little bit of manifestation left, or that word. But remember, that word is not void of power. And remember, that same word has life. Because it's true. It can come on down here until the Bible says, now listen, don't destroy the oil and don't destroy the wine. Everything is gone. But don't you touch it. He's telling you there's a little bit of something trickling down. See? I could give an illustration here, but I don't feel like it. A good pedigreed Christian knows where it's from. In other words, you know we're a son of God. Well, I'm Lutheran, I'm Presbyterian, you hybrid. You, well, who are you? I'm born again. Born of what? The Spirit of God. That's why we're not a hybrid. You're born correctly. You're not. Now listen, he qualifies it. So don't stop reading about the born again. Not with some church creed, but with the Spirit of God. God lives in you. But now hold it. A church creed is not the Spirit of God. It is something written out. So therefore, there's something written out that's got the true spirit in it. Okay, you know I know where it is? Somebody tell me. Come on, beat me to it. Huh? 1 Peter 1, okay. I didn't hear you say, but I think you mumbled it. All right, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. See, there it is, the first fruit. Being born again, not of corruptible spora, but of incorruptible spora, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians and see what's in our day here, how we get by. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter and 13th verse. For we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast holding the true doctrines which you have, whether by word or epistle. Whether it's preached to you, reading my notes here, Paul said. So Brother Branham's laying it on the line. Notice now this little old insect started eating. See, because the word is what's going. And with that word goes everything contingent with the word. And yet people say, oh, I'm going to have it all, bless God. And they don't have the word, that's a lie. And that's why at the end time, it's a complete restoration of that word. You understand what I'm saying? All right, good. See, you got the, that's an amen to me. That says now I can go on. Notice, that little old insect started eating, so he ate off all the peace of mind, on and on and on and on down. He got pages of all the fruit, he ate it. Then this little fellow, that fellow died, then this little guy, that fellow died out, and he became a locust. See, he went through a stage. That was the next stage, the locust. Now, what does a locust do? A locust eats the leaves. That's right, a locust eats off the leaves. What the palmer worm left, he left the leaves. See, he ate all the fruit off first. Then what took over? The locust came to eat, and did eat, what the palmer worm left. Now, things are getting worse, you see. But notice, the life finally went down to the roots. Out of the roots then come what? Come back, actually, that tree planted by the water. Now, that's Bible. Now, what did he do? What did his palmer worm do? Destroyed the leaves. Leaves for what? Destroying divine fellowship. That's right. Now, Brother Branham is throwing something in here you don't find in the Bible. In the sense of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But if divine fellowship is not in the Bible, then throw the entire Bible away. Because that's what got left in the Garden of Eden. Broke. It was no longer direct. It becomes circuitous. But bless God, if I could pick up a Rolls Royce by just going around a curvy road and climbing up a little, not too big a mountain in my age, and then around the top and coming down the curve and down the curve, and I pick up my Rolls Royce, who's going to complain? That's the way salvation is. The life may be circuitous, going around a little at a time and here and there. Watch it go from the east to the west, and watch it move here, and watch it right down in America. There it is, all the way from Bethlehem, all the way from Jordan, all the way from Calvary, all the way from the upper room, all the way from the desert, Arabia where Paul was, right out to the desert in Arizona. What do I care? People, you know, my people, they just can't understand how that life comes. Same light shines, the east shines the west. Try to tell people that. Well, it doesn't really sound that way. It doesn't really look that way. I just don't understand. Sure you don't. Why don't you shut up and listen? With all thy getting, get understanding, Paul said, right? I think I quoted that right. Look it up, somebody. All right. Destroying divine fellowship. The leaves, he takes after those leaves. Now, he's Presbyterian. He won't have anything to do with him. He's Nazarene. He's Pentecost. He's this, he's that. He won't have a thing to do with him because he doesn't belong to our group. Have a meeting here for healing. Now, Brother Brand talking about himself. Huh? Our churches don't even believe in it. He's talking about his ministry now. In other words, no fellowship amongst churches. The church each stands there like a tree. Come under our shadow, come under our shadow. We have it. Peace, rest, and joy, and love, and happiness. All these things are ours. Divine fellowship. And you look up and say, where are the leaves? I'm saying divine fellowship and this fruit you talk about. The only reason you love me is because I come here and pay my tithe or something, so forget it, bud. Oh, you know the little tricks. Yeah. See, there you are. What did the little old locust do? He cut off the fellowship. That's right, all the fellowship. What is fellowship? What do leaves do? Make it cool where the birds flying under the heavens to cool off. There's your tree. He should be like a tree that's planted. See, all right, where people can come and sit down under the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, cool off a little bit. You're all frustrated, don't know what's happening, whether you'll die, whether you're saved or not. You don't know whether this church is right or that church is right. Come on down under the tree that's got some leaves on it. Sit right down there. Let the winds from heaven go blowing like a rushing mighty wind through the leaves, you know, and you begin to cool off a little bit. Now, Brother Brand's talking about his church, his fellowship, the people that God gave him, the little bride at the end time. See, what are they fellowshipping around? The word. Oh, I'm going down to tell that bunch of holy rollers what I think. Brother Branham called himself a holy roller. He was like you and I are. Just sit down a while and cool off. Right. You can't do it on your own, because what's the matter? The locust has eaten it all off, sure. Ate off the leaves. You might as well sit out there in the sun. There isn't any cooling there. All right. But you know what we're supposed to do. The Bible said that the predestinated church, the predestinated sons of God, what do they do? Sit in heavenly places. What is that? Coolness, comfort, feel at home. Amen. In other words, there is a good feeling because you have a good revelation that's working in your soul. Yeah. I never could feel at home with the Pentecostals. I've told you time and time again. I believed I was full of the Holy Ghost way back when I was about 20 years of age, somewhere near, but I never could stand to be one. It got so bad, I went out in the world for a while. I came back, I still went to Pentecost. My God, I couldn't take it. One meeting, all threw my hands up and just walked out, and the spirit of darkness came in that place with the screaming and the hollering and all the junk, the Trinitarian hogwash. And I didn't know the guy was into sex, but he was. Later on, I pigeonholed my mind as having been some kind of a womanizer. He was. But when it came to Branham message, that's it. Well, Brother Day, you old church hopper, you this and that. Well, bless God, at least I'm past the grasshopper stage. I got peace about the word. If anything means anything, this word means everything. I should tell you flat. They talk about, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If this word ain't it, there isn't any word. That took care of that, right? We wipe that kind of stuff right off the map. Talk about Lord of all and deny the word. Come on. Who's sick? What church is sick? Not this church, by the grace of Almighty God. So, Brother Vail, well, I don't know if I feel quite that good, Brother Vail. Well, we're getting healed, praise God. That's a slow process. What are you looking for, a miracle all the time? Don't be ridiculous. How many miracles did God actually perform all through His Word? Ha! Huh, not very many. Not very many. But healing's everywhere. All right, I said a little woman the other day, poor little woman, she belonged to a great dignified church. She said she was dying with cancer. Went down to pray for her. Brother Roy Roberson here, one of the trustees, sent me down there. Poor little thing was there dying with cancer. And I said, are you a Christian? She said, sir, I don't know what to say. I went to a certain church, and then she started crying. I said, what's the matter? I just couldn't dress right. They looked down on me. there, you see, you're uncomfortable. But the Bible said that we are to assemble ourselves together in heavenly places. Oh, my. Have I got the right page? 37, 38. Yeah. Here it is. Oh, my. What? All alike. Why? I'll tell you what this will do. It'll make a pair of overalls and a tuxedo suit put their arms around one another and call each other brother. Sure it will. It'll make an old calico dress put their arms around a silk or satin and say, sister, how are you this morning? Praise God. That's right. It will. It's joy, peace, love, faith in the word, long-suffering, gentle, patience, sitting down in heavenly place in Christ Jesus, cooling off a little while. See, in other words, getting your rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. See, that's what the leaves did. But what did that old locust do? Came around to eat them off. See, he's heat the leaves off. He said, you belong to ours or you don't belong to anybody. He said, that's the Catholic Church right there and the Protestants are going for it. So he took all the coolness out of the spirit. See, he fixed himself a creed. All right. Now look, let's base this about the Catholics and the Protestants. If the Catholics took a .44 and put a bullet right between your eyes, you're dead. And the Protestants came behind and they took a high-pressure blowgun with a piece of ice and got you right between the ribs in your heart, you're just as dead. Huh? Yeah. Just as dead. Yeah. Somebody cuts your head off a sword or gives you a little sweet tasting poison, you is just as dead. And the Protestant, Catholics, and all religions are no different. Because all tables are full of vomit. And all offerings and all is corrupt. So therefore, when you eat the unrevealed truth, you are eating and drinking ptomaine to yourself. And it's getting more and more virulent. They tell us now that there is a certain bug like Legionnaire, although they finally tangled with it and can do something about it. There's another bug developing that they don't think they're going to be able to lick. It's in hamburgers. We in hamburgers everywhere. And they can't lick it because you have to burn it. Now, does anybody want a piece of hamburger that's completely a cinder? Be my guest. I'm just telling you the truth. You're just as dead. That's what Brother Branham is showing you here. See? He that is guilty in one offends in one point of the law is guilty of all. Oh, my. See? Now we got to go on the word. We could stay a long time on that little locust, but the third stage of it was a canker worm. That got, that's got a bad name to start with, canker worm. You know, like canker sores? He's like a canker. That means sore and broken open, and acid hurts it, and anything touches it. Ooh, my. What does a canker worm do? It goes into the bark. That's the lifeline there. See? Yes, sir. It goes into the bark. It destroys the covering of the tree, the covering. What is religion? Covering. That's what the word religion means, the covering. I never heard that, and I didn't look it up, but I'm willing to accept that definition because a prophet is giving it. I think it actually comes from the Latin word to bind back. But I'm not positive, but I take Brother Branham's word on it because that's really true. It's a covering. And when you use it in the sense he's using it, oh my, do people cover themselves with religion. That's why they're wretched and miserable, naked and blind. And let's face it, brother, sister, if there's a worm that eats the leaves and you've got a fig leaf on you, huh? Okay, Eve, Adam, you blew your covering, so it's just what you are. So a little canker worm, after he got amongst the congregation, got them all dignified, then he took all the fellowship away from the form below, because now he comes around, takes the religion away, and makes dogs out of it, that's right. Sets up unorthodox words, forms himself a religion, gets a bunch of men together, puts a creed down there, he takes every religion, the very religion, strips it off of God's tree, the very bark that bears the sap that comes up, and it takes it away, canker worm. Do you see that insect? That's exactly right. That canker worm that was Rome in that early church. First thing, the Protestant group, not Pentecostal organization. No, sir. Anything that organized is dead. I'll prove that in just a minute by scripture. See, but the Pentecost experience, who's it for? It's for the Catholic. Who else? The Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, anybody who wants it. See, in other words, you can overcome your creeds and dogmas if you're a child of God. You will. But you've only got to want it. How are they going to want it? There's nothing there to want it. Now you've got a kid that all the time just wants nothing but but white bread with jam on it. Can you get that kid to eat a baked potato? Not very easy. They're used to fried food, mountains of chips. Well, he may fool you when he's home, but as soon as your back's turned, he's wallowing in it right again. Unless you get the kid's got well brought up and, you know, he's got something in him. You got to want it. You don't join into it. I've been the Branham family 53 years. I never did join the family. Why? I'm a Branham to begin with. I was born a Branham. That's the way Christians were. Not because you're joined into something. That's an organization. We're born Christians by being regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Now, first of all, you're foreknown, you're elected, you're predestinated, and that comes forth in the natural means that God has down here. Repent, be baptized, full of the Holy Ghost. Right. That's exactly true. Notice now, this little canker worm began to bore itself into the bark. What did he do? He began to take he began to take his religion, his covering, his doctrine away from it. The religion is a doctrine, a covering that covers it. See, he talks, now he's going to doctrine, now he's hitting the real truth of the whole matter. Watch your dress today. Get those robes washed properly to come out like snow. See, wash your garments. That's the reason that our religion is by blood, the blood. The life is in the blood that covers the word. And the life is in the blood. The blood is the religion. And the life in the blood is what brings the results. Why? You see it. See? It's not covered by fig leaves. Adam and Eve tried that one time. Now watch, this is really good. Cain did the same thing. Did you notice that? Here's how Brother Branham explains when Cain brought that, which is literally in my understanding of first fruit, that he denied the serpent seed, that he was a serpent seed. Cain brought some botany life too. Adam and Eve presented fig leaves to cover them. Cain brought fruits, apples, beautiful things. It wouldn't work. It didn't work with Adam and Eve. It won't work today. I love this. This is your definitive, and don't ever forget that. When God refused it at the beginning, it's refused for eternity. The botany life, see? Man-made creeds and thoughts will never take it. That's what Adam and Eve did and Cain do. It's God's word has to do it. And the word is by the blood, the sacrifice of Christ. That's right. Now notice that's right from history. Sacrifice of the Lamb that pointed to the Lamb. See? Brother Branham said, if what could happen under the blood of a Lamb pointing to the Lamb, what could be happening now? And this is why they fail to understand where Brother Branham said he had more success in my ministry than he had in his own when he was here upon earth in flesh. Greater works. See, people just, hey, you've got to let your thinking go and simply rejoice in what Brother Branham is saying and believe it and watch how God will deal with you. But if you haven't got that in you, Hey, there's nothing I can do to convince you. And if I did, I'm not going to do you any good. I couldn't do you harm. But he that's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Hey, that's a little saying that's not in the Bible. I think I could find it, though. I'm sure I could. People, as Brother Branham, as a brother said this morning, pulling splinters. Well, you know, there's 19 different nails in the nation today that different organizations are holding and could claim it's the original nail that was in Christ's hands, because of his hands, Christ's hands. What if it was? I wouldn't want anything to do with it, certainly. God never left anything for relics and tokens. He sent the Holy Ghost. You know that the Catholic Church has claimed they've actually got a little bottle of Mary's milk? Now, who at that time would have thought of that? They got so many pieces of cross you could build a barn. A pole barn. And yet the people are all for it. Our great religion. I got news for Ted Kennedy. He's going to wake up his brothers and dad. Not in the Catholic Church, but where the Catholic Church is destined to go according to the Word of God. Well, you got men like him. They're supposed to be moral, leading the nation. He hasn't got any morals. And Tip O'Neill says he's the best, greatest politician alive today in America. Yeah, Tip O'Neill. Which direction is he tipped? And for who's he tipping? It's even your name can tell you a lot about you. So now we're holding on to nails, we're holding on to relics, and we're holding on to places. And today people walk up and down the city of Jerusalem, all up and down the different places, holding to relics and things. That hasn't got a thing to do with it, not one thing. The thing's condemned, rotten, gone. I went to a church in Rome where all these priests had died. They plant them in a garden down beneath there, like in the catacombs. Let the meat fall off the bones, and then they take the bones out, make light fixtures, and put their skulls around. And people come in and rub those skulls to get a blessing until the skulls were white and worn out. That's marvelous. Isn't that great part of the church? So we dig up. If I was going to touch anybody's skull, I would start looking for either Brother Branham's or the Apostle Paul's or somebody's. We know those were men of God. A Polycarp. These men, read their history. I challenge you, read the histories. Let them deny it. Well, they'll deny it. Yeah, they're bold as brass. This guy in Texas let everybody know. He said, listen to you Protestants, I'm on to you. He said, I'll let you get this flat. He said, it wasn't us Catholics killed you Protestants killed us Catholics. Yeah. History's full of it. When did the Catholic Church ever apologize? Tell me. Their scourge is coming back on them in their own priesthood. Before it's over, they might have to ordain women priests. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. The only thing going to save the Catholic Church right now is a complete collapse of our money system. That'll bring them back. The deadly wound will be healed again, don't worry. You can't get blood out of a stone, and you won't, but you can get gold out of a stone. Yeah. St. Peter's Cathedral, foot of Peter, they claim their statue has been kissed off 9 to 10 different times, have to mold another foot on it. I can't find scripture Peter said, kiss my foot. Here's my toe. Here's my ring finger, the fisherman. I really think God must laugh in the heavens at all this stuff. The Bible says he does. I believe the Lord's a little sarcastic. I know. I sure hope he is, because I am. I got a big dose of it. Such nonsense. Superstition, that's all there is. Creed's a man-made doctrine. God sent the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, to be in you, not a statue. You are the guy that God wants to live in, not a statue, but in you. People call holy statues. I mean holy statues. You're God's holy statue. The Bible says that that's right. A body hast thou prepared me. Brother Brown, a statue of every man talks. God wants us living, breathing statues unto God.
Hey.
What about prayer clause? Prayer clause are fine. The Bible says so. Now this little fellow started destroying. Destroying what? The cankerum got in the bark. Watch what it did. It began to destroy the bark. What did it do? It made a natural church for a spiritual church. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Took away the true and gave it the false. Well, yeah, because you see, the life is down to almost nothing. The leaves are off. So what kind of a tree is that? Man, I don't know, but boy, what a tree is. No leaves and no bark, and I don't see anything around. Well, what do you think it could be? See, there you are. It is not identified with Christ in any way, shape, and form, even though someone come by and say, I'm going to tell you what, that tree actually was a locust tree. And you find out later on it wasn't a locust tree. That's when you're too late. You're at the judgment. Now this little fellow started destroying. Destroying what? The canker worm got the bark. Took away the truth. So on. Now remember the leaf, the fruit, the pomerum ate. The leaf, the locust ate. Now the bark and covering the religion, the doctrine, the canker worm got. Where did that first doctrine come from outside the Bible? You historians, you know where it came from. It from Rome. That's exactly where it started. There they started accepting dogmas. That's Irenaeus, St. Martin, Polycarp. All of them after John's death for translating the Word of God. He was out in the Isle of Patmos. They burned him in Greece for 24 hours, brought back, still wrote the Bible. That is, the part of the Bible. God was determined that his Bible would be written. That's the Word of God. We can't take it away or add to it. It's just to lay there just the way it is, the Word of God. In other words, just as God gave it by the prophets. Don't do a thing. Just leave it. Notice when they got back. When these saints of God were trying to hold up that word, Rome came right in and accepted dogmas instead. Now, let's just see what she did. Some of her false doctrines that were done. Now, you see, here's where he's into the church age and the seals. A lot of this. Water baptism, where they were commissioned. Peter said in the day of Pentecost, on the image of the Holy Ghost, the word of God came. Repent, everyone, in the name, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. What did Rome do with it? Turned it around and said, be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, making a creed and not a doctrine of the Bible. What did he do? That's the canker were meeting, sprinkling, instead of immersing in the name of the Father. Father, Son, Holy Ghost is no name. There's no such thing. Father's not a name. Son's not a name. The Holy Ghost is not a name. But when Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it was Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly what Peter and they did, and all, everybody in the Bible there. There was nobody. I challenge anybody to bring me one piece of scripture, one piece of history, where anybody was ever baptized in any other way than in the name of Jesus Christ into the Roman Catholic Church. And Rome absolutely admits that they invented that baptism. It is theirs. And if you are baptized that way, you are a Roman Catholic. And what are you looking at? You're looking at, now, Son's not a name. What is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? What is that name in there? It's Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it is Elohim, Jehovah, Savior. Here you are. One person. Who was the Savior? God, Elohim, revealing himself through the complex titles Jehovah, the relationship to man. The beginning of his generations. We've been teaching it here, faithfully as I can from what Brother Branham taught. Showing relationships, showing the whole thing. See? But Rome accepted that. In fact, it is told by some people that in Matthew 28:19 was interposed. I don't say it was. I'm not a prophet. It would take Brother Branham to tell you. Not just somebody working on numerics like Ivan Tannen. That's wonderful. That's great. I'm not enthused. Not when I see that and hear thus saith the Lord and see it manifested. I cannot turn from that. And I won't turn from it. It may torture me till I say, well, I recant. Down deep inside, I ain't recanting nothing. But I don't think that's going to happen by the grace of Almighty God. See? All right. Here we are. Time's up. When I get back, I'll get back. By the grace of God. And we'll finish. We'll go into this message here, which you see already is talking, is the same thing. A lot of it he preached in the age of Lot and the seals with preambles. And right now, it is actually reflecting on this age, giving us the history and showing us why the church is in the condition it is, and showing that if God did not take his church out of here, turn right around and do the same thing. But she won't have time. It's all over. That's wonderful to know that. When is that hour? That hour is here. Just what moment? Don't ask me. I don't know. But I tell you, whether we die or whether we stand right here, it's upon us. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for the joy it is of gathering together, the peace we have in coming around your word, the confidence we have in it. And though, Lord, we may be completely remiss and confess it this morning that we have not shouted as we should have shouted or even danced in those places we could have, Father, we know that it's not said in Scripture we have to do this. The big thing is to know the evidence, which is believe the word for the hour, but we also know there are certain things contingent to it that are natural the prophet brings out by the word that we could certainly indulge in without one bit of a problem. Knowing only this, Lord, that also said by the Apostle Paul, when that church came together to hear the word, there was to be decorum, and there was to be silence among the women. There are to be many things concerning the teaching ministry, which would perhaps not obtain at the time other services were in order. I don't know. I may be just trying to apologize to you, Lord. I may be trying to defend myself. I may be trying to wiggle out. I may be coming against you, which I hope I certainly am not. But Father in heaven, it would be nice if you show us something where how to let go, and we should do a little more letting go, then that is good. Yet I believe the same prophet said he didn't care how you yelled and how high you jumped, as long as you walked straight when you came down. And then there again we see some things. So Father, help us to get really lined up inside with the joy of the Lord and these things in here, and then giving expression, Father, we know it, no matter how voluble, no matter how marvelous it is that we manifest expression in the dancing of the Lord. Let it be like David, wild gyrations. Who cares? Let it be unto you, Lord. I don't know how suited I am to, but Lord, if I'm one of your children, and I'm supposed to be suited, I am suited. I know in certain ways I would well be suited to it. And Father God, whatever you desire, we pray that we might enter into this great, tremendous joy. And know what it is, Lord, when Israel saw you coming upon the little white donkey, the foal of an ass, they began taking palm branches and singing Hosanna. People got angry at the people praising you, said the stones would cry out. Lord, we don't want any stones crying out in our place. We sooner be little rocks crying out, built upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Manifesting, Lord, by word and by deed your presence, and not being averse to shouting your praises and dancing in your glory. Whatever it is it would take, Father, whatever it is, I don't know. But teach us by your word, lead us in the depths of the knowledge of God. Now, as we dismiss, we pray that if any sick amongst us may be healed, Lord. Healing certainly has not left this church or our faith by a one iota. We believe it. We believe they can be healed sitting, standing right there this morning. And Brother Branham said, a Jewish tradition. Well, Lord, we have Jewish and we have Gentile. We have the whole thing this morning, the complete revealed word in this hour. Let the people be healed, O God, by the word of life, which is now gone into their minds, their spirit, down into their souls, where true healing comes forth, even as John said, I wish above all else you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. That's the truth this morning. We receive it, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the help you're giving us to continue, Lord, living a life, but only on condition that we serve you and love you, and so doing, we do to others, proving it is thus and so. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take